Well, a couple observations from that song. It's 10 years old now, which blows my mind because I remember being in middle school and hearing that song and thinking, this song is awesome. And one of the lyrics, as I walk from earth into eternity, really simple line, right? You know, there's so much power and there's so much raw and depth to that line, as I walk from earth into eternity. And it's, you know, it's subtle, but I listen to that and go, I'm doing that right now. I am on that journey. I am in that process of entering into eternity. And I don't know about you, but man, I can't wait till I'm in eternity and I'm dancing with Jesus every day, all day, for the rest of eternity. I look forward to that. Last week, we talked about that as members of the local church, we are to function. We are to use our hands to edify and build this thing called the church. You know, we use our hands to extend grace, to receive grace, and ultimately, we really use our hands to give the glory back to Jesus Christ. More specifically, last week, and you know, not ironically, but every week, really, we demonstrate how everyone in the local church can function. You know, last week, we exemplified the gifts, talents, and abilities that our young people have. But every week, which is the really cool thing about Alliance Church, which what I believe makes us an anomaly in the sense, we have multiple generations that come together and then are integrated together. So not just multiple, but now integrated. We come together and we use all of our gifts, all of our talents and our abilities to edify and build this thing called the church to give the glory back to Jesus, which is really, really cool. I mean, I don't know if we have, you know, just stopped and paused for a moment enough really to appreciate and go, wow, that is amazing. All of us give glory to Jesus in the most subtle ways, whether it's playing guitars or drums or greeting people or doing the ushering or just walking the money from our tithe to the office, because that in its own little way is still giving glory back to Jesus, because those finances are going to be used to build his kingdom, and those guitar playings and strumming and playing with your drumsticks and singing is used to build the kingdom, and we get to do that as a body, and we get to do that in multiple generations. I don't know about you, but that gets me really excited, as you could probably tell right now. But today, we are going to talk about membership in the local church, and we're going to talk about how membership is a gift. Now, maybe the idea of membership might make you cringe a little, but bear with me on this, because we have a lot of good things to talk about from God's word in regards to church membership. You know, I remember the first time I realized I was a part of a family. It was literally minutes after I was born. In fact, you can say I was an exceptional baby. You can still say I'm an exceptional baby. But really, do you remember the first time you realized you were a part of a family? You know, that moment you realize mom and dad are mom and dad, or your siblings are just tremendously annoying, but you still love them. Honestly, I don't recall that first time. I don't remember when I realized I'm a part of a family. But I guess you could say, I guess I just always knew, you know, it was implanted into my brain, and I knew from a young age I was a part of the C-Corps family. It was ingrained in me from the moment of birth that I belonged, and that was, and that still is, really cool. And the great thing is, I now have my own family. I got married in December 2012 when I was 19 years old to my really cool wife, Paige, and now we are expecting our firstborn son this December. And so what's weird to think about especially for me as I'm in this portion of my life process, is that my parents and my brother bestowed onto me the gift of family. And when I cried as a baby or when I cried as a teenager, you know, my parents were quick to comfort me, and they're still quick to comfort me. And when I realized how cool my brother was, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, I thought he was so cool, I would follow him everywhere, and my brother got really annoyed at me because of this. I mean, the point is, you know, now because my wife and I are married and now we're expecting our firstborn, I get to bestow to my son, to myself, to Paige, this gift called a family. And being a part of the C-Core family, or whatever family you come from, was just so cool. And for me personally, I'm excited to carry on that tradition with my wife and son. Now, fun fact, every single one of us comes from a family. I know, it's shocking. I see the O's in your face right now. All of our families share unique stories, and all of our families share unique traits. For my family in particular, one of our traits is sarcasm. So if you were to meet my Uncle Alan, Alan is this dude who is well-articulated, knows what is going on in current events and in past events, and somehow is able to intermix all these ingredients and dish out to you some very clever and well-articulated sarcasm. I thought I was smart, and then I talked to Uncle Alan, and I realized I'm an idiot. So if you ever meet Alan, and if you love sarcasm, you are in for a ride. But, you know, maybe for some of us, we really enjoy traveling. Like, there's a couple families in here, and I don't get it. They're always traveling, and it's so cool. The stories they bring back, the resources that they have to give to people, and the resources that they are able to use to travel. I mean, there's moments where I go on Facebook late at night, and I look at their photos. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at you now. Anyways, and It's just really cool seeing how that family functions and seeing the stories that they have captured and the stories that they have made. But, you know, maybe for some of us, some of our families have a background of abuse or alcoholism. I mean, the point is, church family, is we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different contexts. It's broad. It's awesome. And at points, it can be really disheartening, you know, because some of us may absolutely adore our families. And then some of us, you know, we can't stand our families. We don't want anything to do with our families. But the greatest family I have ever been a part of, and that you will ever be a part of, is your church family, is God's family. On a local and global context, we are all bestowed by Jesus the opportunity to be a part of something so much bigger than you, so much bigger than me. We get to be part of a global network system that believes in Jesus and the transformation that Jesus has to offer. This transformation first starts off in our hearts, and as Jesus inhabits our hearts and begins conforming us to his image, we do this really crazy thing where we start to think and operate and act like Jesus. We're our family, our church family, and your family on the home front, Lord willing, gets to exemplify Jesus as Jesus works and molds your heart into this thing of his own creation. And as much as I love being a C-Core, as much as I love calling mom and dad, and calling Paige my wife and my son, I'd rather be a part of God's family, of this church family, of a heavenly family. And as much as I love my son, I pray that he first realizes he is the son of the Most High God, the King of the universe, and that Jesus loves him more than daddy will ever love him. Because my son has a family here locally, and then my son has a family globally, Christ's family. Let's pray, and then let's get into God's word. God, I ask that Holy Spirit would come and penetrate our hearts, And that as we talk about our church family, as we talk about membership, Lord, I ask that people would have ears to listen and hearts open to receive. And Lord, at the end of the day, God, I just ask that all of us, as we walk together through this process, we're transformed by your Holy Spirit and by your word, and we draw closer to you, Lord Jesus, because that's what we want. Amen. So there are many reasons, I believe, a lot of people don't want to be part of a local church family. There are a lot of reasons people may not want to take that next step and become a church member. But what I believe is the biggest reason people don't want to be part of a local church family, people don't want to be a member, is this. People are afraid you will want more from them than you will want for them. Let me say that again. People are afraid you will want more from them than you will want for them. In other words, people are afraid that they won't measure up to the standards of the local church. People are afraid that they won't measure up to the standards that we have. Because I think when we hear about church family or about becoming a church member, our minds go in a lot of places. A lot of uncertainty comes into that. And I think our minds automatically just grasp, you know, one of these thoughts. Maybe you relate to one of these thoughts. You know, because some of those places that our minds may go to sound maybe something like this. What if I can't tithe consistently? Or what if I'm not sure about being baptized? Or my spouse isn't a Christ follower? Or I might not have time to serve. You know, have you asked yourself one of those things before? Because those are really good questions. I mean, they genuinely are pretty good questions, I think. I would agree. And we could totally have another series on all that content that would be birthed from those questions. But here is what I want to tell you, church family, just right out of the gate. We talked about this briefly last week, but here we go. All right, this may be a shocker, but Alliance Church is made up of people who have spiritually inefficient DNA. Check this out. This is from the Bible. This isn't my word. This is God's word. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So what that means, according to Scripture, is that in fact, every single one of us has spiritually inefficient DNA. We are all in need of Jesus. We are in need of his grace, you know, and we all need to be part of God's family. We all need to come together and experience this Jesus thing of extending grace, of receiving grace, of being on our knees and just loving Jesus. Check this out. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you caught that, but we are called to imitate or copy. We are called to imitate or copy God in everything that we do. Note everything. Okay, it's not some things. It's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's not what we choose. It's what Jesus wants. It's what God calls us. We are called to exemplify everything. You know, and Paul even goes on to say, here's an example. You know, here's a person you can model your life after. You can model your life after Jesus. Just a really good suggestion. So no big deal, right? But you know, the really radical thing is, yet Paul finishes in saying, by the way, Jesus died for you. And so if we are to imitate everything about God and use Jesus as an example, whoa, all of a sudden Jesus is calling us to some pretty all-in subjections. So if I want to imitate God, I need to follow Christ's example. You know, and from that example comes this idea of relationships with other people, right? If we recall Jesus' earthly ministry, you have to know this. His 12 disciples, they were pretty interesting people, right? Because you had a terrorist, and then you had a tax collector. And so naturally, these two would be in conflict with the idea. The really radical and awesome thing about Jesus was that he was really good at mixing personalities and bringing the best resources out of people. Because if we were to do that today, bring a terrorist, so maybe someone from ISIS or just some extremist, to a tax collector or someone who is totally against them, there would be conflict from that. And I don't doubt that there was conflict between those two disciples. But yet Jesus saw something in them as people that he said, hey, I want to tap into that, and I want to use that, I want to exemplify that, I want to show off God's glory, and I want to show that God's love and grace surpasses our human condition. I'm going to use you too. You know, Jesus was key when it came to relationships. Jesus knew how to operate in a very dysfunctional world and a very dysfunctional family and dysfunctional relationships. More or less, you know, I believe Jesus established a covenant relationship with these people. You know, before his death on the cross, he demonstrated all in. He demonstrated being a mentor and what it took to have mentors and have a successful mentor group. But what I love is that this idea at the end of his earthly ministry, he knew the end game was that it was going to be a catalyst for everyone on a global context to come to know Jesus in a personal way through his death, through his bloodshed. Talk about a covenant relationship and the fact that, all right, you know what, 12, I'm going to invest in you, and you guys are going to go global, and here's what I'm going to do on my end. I'm going to die for the world. I'm going to die for future generations. I'm going to die for you and this generation and the generations before me. That's a covenant relationship. That requires Jesus to be all in. That requires Jesus to sacrifice it all. And he did. It's a gift. Because we are jointed together now as a body through Christ's blood. And through his blood, we are jointed together as a family, a church family. Check this out. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. I want to pause it real quick. If I was the head of the church, and I'm just being totally honest with you, Alliance Church and I think just the universal church, the global church, would collapse. And here's why. I have this thing in me called sin, and I'm in desperate need of Jesus. So thank God Jesus oversees the church, because if any one of us was to oversee it, no matter how organizationally set you may be, we're not qualified. So praise Jesus for that. Anyways, and the church is his body and made full and complete by Christ, who fills everything with himself. What I read from that is that from the moment the church was birthed to now and until the world ends, Jesus is head of the church. Now, maybe right now, I've been talking a lot about this Jesus guy. Maybe right now you're asking, who is Jesus? You know, whether you are a Christ follower or you're not a Christ follower, it's good to hear who this Jesus is. It's good to hear and be reiterated time and time again about Jesus. So this could be a really great reminder for some of us, and this could be a really great introduction for some of us. So here's who Jesus is, all right? Buckle up. You're in for a ride. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. So that's who Jesus is, right? He was a man who experienced great sorrow. He experienced great grief. He was despised. He was ridiculed. He was abused. He was whipped, he was beaten, his skin was torn for us, yet he chose, despite all this abuse, to still go through with it, to carry our weaknesses for us. That's who Jesus is. That's who my Jesus is. He is this guy who has an upside down kingdom where the CEO of the kingdom comes down, incarnates onto the earth, takes on flesh, becomes a man, and goes, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to subject myself to this abuse for the sake of future generations, to save future generations, to unite these people, to become a church family, to become my sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who my Jesus is. Is that your Jesus? He's someone you wouldn't think would oversee the church because of the abuse he endured. But here's the radical thing. He is. He is the one that oversees the church. And because of the abuse he endured, I am able to freely come before God. Are you? That's Jesus. That is the man who oversees my church. That is the man who oversees your church. So, church family, if you have spiritually inefficient DNA, great news. You fit right on in. Welcome to Alliance Church. We're made of broken people. You know, and I want to be clear on this, church family. You know, membership, becoming a member for your local church, does not grant you salvation. Jesus Christ alone grants you salvation. But the reason becoming a member is important in our discipleship process is that we are exemplifying as Christ's body, we are jointed. And I want to be clear with this. You know, I've met a lot of people where they go, you need to become a member, you need to sign your name. And while face value, they may not understand it, but the depth behind it is it's more than just signing your name on a piece of paper and saying, I am a church member for Alliance Church. It's making a vow. It's making a covenant. Because as a church member, you are demonstrating, I am all in. And in my weaknesses, in my strengths, I want people to see that I am dedicated to my church family. Being a church member doesn't give you discounts to a local restaurant. Maybe for some churches it does. Not Alliance Church, as far as I know. If it does, then I'm missing out. Being a church member doesn't give you an all-inclusive package to your gym where this one diet and pill is going to make your body trim and fit. Being a church member is a declaration that you are committed to your local church family through the good times, through the bad times, in sickness and in health, in richness and in poor, that you are a part of Christ's body and that you are jointed, that you are membered in. You know, a lot of you, you know, let me rephrase that. You know, some of you might be thinking, you know, I already give consistently, and I'm already serving on a consistent basis. That's great. That is really cool, honestly. Thank you so much for that. And I won't diminish that by any means, because that's essential in your discipleship process. And you have a gift and resource that you've seen God has given you, and you want to use that for your church family. Praise God. Thank you. But I want to ask you this. What's holding you here? You know, church membership reflects marriage in a lot of ways. It really does. When things are good in a marriage, it's easy to be a husband or it's easy to be a wife, right? In fact, it's pretty fun when things are going great in your marriage. But when things are hard in your marriage, you know, financial burden, or you found out, you know, someone cheated on you, or a child is being dysfunctional, marriage becomes hard all of a sudden. And our emotions are a gift from God, but our emotions can be funny. Our emotions can really, you know, mislead us, and our emotions may be screaming to us, get out. But as a Christ follower, you know, we're called to use our whole body. You know, love the Lord your God with all your soul, strength, mind. As a Christ follower, we need to use our minds and discern through the good times and the bad times and stay committed. You know, I made a vow with my spouse to stay all in, no matter what. And I've only been married for 4 years. I know it's not a long time. Every year has been great, but a few have been tough. I'm still married today because I made a vow and a commitment to Paige that I am all in, and I'm not backing out. Plus, if I was to back out, she would murder me. So I'm going to stick around. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus calls for followers. He doesn't call for leaders. Yeah, I know leaders are birthed from his calling, but Jesus wants followers. Jesus wants people to follow him. And saying yes to Jesus demonstrates that you want to follow Jesus because you realize, I can't do this, and I need you, Jesus. You know, that is the best thing you can do for yourself. So why not demonstrate that for your local church? All right, because here's the thing. The church is Christ's bride. The church is the bride of Christ. So why not demonstrate a covenant relationship and saying, I vow to be a member of this local church. I vow to be here in sickness and in health. I vow to be here in the good times and in the bad times. I vow to be here in the financial hardships and in the financial championships. I vow to stay with this local body when we celebrate and when we mourn. I vow to clearly demonstrate that I am Christ's body, that I am a church member. You know, because Paul teaches briefly on this in 1 Corinthians. He says we are one body. I mean, can you imagine if I was up here and my arm was on the piano? It would look a little weird and kind of awkward, right? You know, but my arm is a part of me. My arm has usage. And as far as I know, my arm is going to stick around with me. At least I hope so. But the point is, we were made to be membered, not dismembered. We were made to be unified. And so here's the application for you, church family. It's a really radical application. Pray about it. Consider attending a church membership class here at Alliance Church and make a decision from that. You know, equip yourself with as much knowledge as you can so you can make a sound decision. All right, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, even at the end of it, and you just go, you know what? I don't think I want to be a church member. Well, now you have the knowledge. Now you are equipped with what Alliance Church is about, with what our DNA is, what our core values are, what our direction statement is, or what our mission statement is, or you know, whatever other statements you want to throw out there. Because now you know what we as a church family are trying to accomplish here in Little Falls, Minnesota. You know, what we as pastors and what we as elders want for you is to come together and follow Christ. Now, do we need things from you? Yes. Yes, we do. We need resources. But that is not what drives Pastor Ryan. That is not what drives myself. That is not what drives the elders. What drives us is this idea is that we want you to experience a place where you come together and you follow Christ and you worship, connect, and serve as God's family. That is what we want for you ultimately. And so if we exemplify that as Alliance Church, would we as a local church become more unified? If every single one of us decided to attend a membership class, or if every single one of us decided to become a member, would we as a local body, as this church family, as Alliance Church, would we become more unified? I think we would. Because we would all then know what is our core values, what is our DNA, what are we doing here in Little Falls, Minnesota, what are we trying to accomplish? And I'm not saying you can't have that, you know, conversation outside of a class environment. You can. In fact, you can. We always open that up every week. But there is something significant about that vow, that covenant establishment that you are making and saying, I want to be all in because I want people in Little Falls to know what it's like to worship, connect, and serve and come together and follow Christ. You know, I mean, that's what the church here, Alliance Church, is here to do. To reach locally and to reach globally. But locally, there are a lot of people in Little Falls, you know, about 8,000 to 9,000, and I don't know how many of them don't know Jesus. And if we're not unified, then how are we going to share Jesus? How are we going to exemplify Jesus? You know, what we as pastors want As elders, again, I'll say it again. We want to come together and we want to follow Jesus. We want all of us to be on the same page with that. And I think if we were unified, you know, I think we would. I think more and more people will come to know and fall in love with Jesus like you have, or like I have. I think we would because we'd all understand to be on the same page as to what we are trying to accomplish here in Little Falls. You know, I think by setting that example, church family, I think by saying that example, becoming a church member, people would hear how you speak, how we speak of Alliance Church, and be so curious as to why we are invested. I really do. I really think people would be curious as to why. Because here's what it is, church family. It points back to Jesus. Simple as that. It's not anything new. It's really not anything profound. But us being unified, us talking about our church body, stirs people to wonder and ultimately points them to Jesus Christ. It points to his body and literally what Jesus' body did on the cross for you and me. And it points to what his body stands for locally and globally. It shows that we submit ourselves to Jesus with everything. You know, it shows that we are all in and that we are willing to give everything. Not some things, but everything. I want to call the worship band back up. And we're going to sing one last song. It's called Enough. And this song is, it's cool. It's, man, when I hear it, I get convicted because there are so many times like you where I don't think Jesus is enough. But it's so good because as a church family, you guys hold me accountable and you guys bring me back to the perspective that Jesus is enough. And all you need is Jesus. So church family, let's unify around this idea that Christ is more than enough. That Christ is all and is in all.